legend. Yeah! Kickstart your day with the man who dominated the field like no other, Wayne Carey. And the sports journo who's done it all, Mark Howard. The Dead Set Legends do breakfast on Triple M.
Oh, good morning, Melbourne Town. You just heard Damien Hardwick saying the month of July is when the big boys step out, and that's exactly what we're doing here today. A big lineup coming your way. Pies fans, for the third week in a row, they have just failed to get across the line. Cricket, things looking a little bit dodgy in the Ashes after day two. Australia behind the eight ball. Mark Webber to join us after 8 o'clock. So much to look forward to. And the King is still in Adelaide after doing the footy last night. Hello, Ducky boy.
G'day, Howie. How are you? Beautiful morning over here in Adelaide. A lot of rain last night. Fresh, crisp, but beautiful.
Wonderful emotional scenes at the footy last night, Duck. It must have been just a treat to be there.
It sure was. And how courageous were Port Adelaide. Backs up against the wall. We didn't know how they were going to respond. Their captain, Travis Boker's, had a quiet month. He was on fire early. Young Ollie Wines was very emotional after the game. He was absolutely brilliant. But they just managed to hang on. Another honourable loss to the Pies. They now go back amongst the rut, Howie. They're now fighting for a spot in the eight rather than that top four.
We'll speak footy shortly, but Duck, I've just got breaking news coming across my desk at the moment. A big story that I need to help you out with. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
A Chinese man's pet dogs have turned out to be protected Asian bears, Ducky boy. Banana farmer Wang Kaiyu said he bought the lively, friendly, hungry pair in 2013 from a Vietnamese man who said, I quote, they'd be good watchdogs. It was only when his now 55-kilo pup started eating his chickens, Ducky boy, that he became suspicious. Then he saw a wildlife protection poster and realised his mistake.
Well, he's right about one thing. They'd be very protective. There's no question about that.
Wingard with two. He can do the impossible. And he's on a tight angle, and he has just sliced the big sticks. He's got three. Not much that this kid can't do. A return favour here with Adams. A bouncing ball controlled. A shot on goal. Tell me that was not a centering kick.
Wow.
It was meant to be, and it's floated through. It went left, it went right, it went back left, it went right, and kicked a goal. Kick was smothered. Pinterbury to charge after it. Skipper socketed off the ground. Unguarded goal square. Hits the post.
Here from half-back, Langdon running, taking some grass. Now he goes long. He goes to the 50. A mark here, Elliott went through his head. Cloak, siren. Port have won a ripper.
Just a great game of football. I think he would have loved it, Phil. He would have liked the game.
The Port Adelaide coach, Ken Hinckley, Mark Howard, Wayne Carey, the Dead Set Legends do breakfast on Triple M. Port Adelaide 5-3 to 1-1 at quarter time, a 26-point lead. Collingwood came and came and came, couldn't quite get there in the end. Port Adelaide 9-12-66, Collingwood 9-9-63. Duck, you were there with Channel 7. Before we get into the game itself, tell us a little bit about the occasion.
Yeah, look, it was obviously an emotional night, Howie. We didn't really know how Port Adelaide were going to turn up. Neither did their coach, Ken Hinckley, and he spoke about that before the game. But, yeah, it was emotional scenes. The crowd was very respectful when Collingwood came onto the ground. You would normally, you know, there'd be normally a few jeers. There was none of that. Big crowd there. Port Adelaide, like I said, they were absolutely terrific. They got off to the perfect start. Ollie Wines, all of their really good players, Howie. Ollie Wines, Westhoff, Gray, their captain Boak was sensational in and under. And it was the perfect start. And from there, Collingwood just tried to play catch-up footy. The rain came, made the conditions really, really slippery. But it was an absolute ripper.
They lost three on the trot coming into this. Port Adelaide, are they starting to regain some of their mojo, Duck, or are they not going to be the team we saw last year?
No, I don't think they're going to be the team we saw last year, Howie. They have to win seven of their last eight. They did keep their season alive. I still think it's a long shot for them to be playing finals footy. But Collingwood, unfortunately, that's another honourable loss, if that's what you want to call it. That's three in a row now for the Pies, and they go down amongst the rut of teams just trying to make the eight, Howie. No longer are they looking at the top four. They're just fighting to stay in that top eight. But it really was a classic game. Side bottom for Collingwood was absolutely terrific in the second half. His cleanness and ball use was superb. But in the end, they just hung on Port Adelaide. And it was a dour struggle right to the end. Showed all the courage that Phil Walsh would have been very, very proud of. And at the end of the game, there were a lot of emotional scenes. Fantastic tribute again to Phil Walsh. And, you know, they turned the lights out, Howie. People turned on their phones and they had the lights around the stadium. It was sensational scenes. Collingwood stayed out on the ground again, and a lot of players very emotional, including a young man who's 20 years old and was probably best on ground. Ollie Wines was absolutely superb and very emotional after the game.
Ducky boy Dane Swan, game number 250. As always, he was fantastic. 33 disposals all over the footy on every end of the ground. But he had an unusual incident. You were telling me that he was discussing with you last night on the night before the match in Adelaide.
Yeah, he did. Look, he was big in his 250. I think it's the 104th time, Howie, he has had 30-plus possessions. Only Robert Harvey has done it more times than he. He was great. But you're right, the night before the game, Howie, he's over here. He caught up with a mate. He was heading to his place to watch the State of Origin game, and the police pulled him over and made him get out of the car. It was a case of mistaken identity. So I think Swanee's tattoos might have got him in trouble for the first time. So mistaken identity. He got out of the car. The police asked him to get out. They had one look at him and said, "Oh, we know who you are now. We've got this wrong," and let them go. So a little bit of an eventful night for Swanee the night before.
Collingwood from here on in, Duck, what are you expecting? They've lost three on the trot now, really close games. They've still got tough games to come. Looks like top four may be beyond them.
Definitely beyond them. I don't think they're a top four chance. Look, they've been really good. Last night was probably disappointing for them. They didn't bring their A game. The 2 weeks prior to that, I thought they were probably a little bit unlucky. You're always unlucky if you lose by less than a kick. But they're struggling right now, Howie. And for them, it's just a matter of getting that next win.
The cricket last night, Ducky boy, well, we had our opportunities. The Poms, well done to them. They made 430 in the end. Moen Ali got 77, batting at number 8. Mitchell Starc did the job with the ball, 5 for 114. Then the boys all got starts. Rogers, 95. Warner, 17. Smith, 33. Clark, 38. Voges, 31. Watson is not out, 29, alongside Lyon on 6 not out. 70 overs, 5 for 264. Still trailing by 160-odd. Duck, are you aware of a gentleman by the name of Phil Rudd?
ACDC drummer?
That's him. Well, he was quoted leaving court yesterday after he'd been given home detention. And I must admit, watching the Aussies throw away the start, so I felt a little bit like Phil left when he was leaving court yesterday. That's a decent spray. And that's how the Aussie batsman felt going back in the sheds, Ducky.
Mate, only rock stars can get away with that sort of stuff. That's fantastic. Hey, so back to the cricket.
Yeah.
Rogers, now you said yesterday or the day before that this man, and apparently this will be his last, clearly his last Ashes.
Yep.
He was as solid as a rock.
Well, he was, and you told me you weren't sure he should open up the batting, and I did tell you, Ducky, we've got a lot of fluent stroke players down the order, and we need a bit of a rock at the start. He was fantastic. 95 off 133 balls, so he still went at a fair clip. That's his seventh straight 50 in a row, Duck. Unfortunately, hasn't been able to convert any of them into hundreds, but it's an equal world record for 750s on the trot. He was the standout with the bat, Ducky boy, and he spoke after the day's play.
I think the wicket's going to possibly deteriorate, so it could be hard work for us, particularly at the back end. So we have to get a lot closer with our runs and even get a lead. I think that's going to be important for us. And I've said it, you know, every time I've done a press conference, I'm under pressure to score runs. So, but particularly this series, it's such a huge series, and perhaps being my last one, I'd love to remember it for all the right reasons.
So Howie, are we in trouble because all of our batsmen, including Smith, we've got starts, we just haven't gone on with it.
Yeah, 2 wickets fallen to the off-spinner, Ali. Yeah, we're in a bit of bother, Duck, trailing by 160 with 5 wickets left. And dare I say it, our test match at the moment lies in the hands of SR Watson. He's 29 not out. This is the day that Shane Watson doesn't need a classy 50 or a 60. We need a 100. You heard Rogers say that. If we can get our first innings lead, anything is possible. You trial by 70 or 80, Duck. They knock up 200 and you're chasing 280 on a wearing wicket on the last day. I think we're in a bit of bother.
He just said that the wicket's going to deteriorate, but how did it play for them last night? Was it an uneven bounce the day before?
To be honest, it was a lot better than the first day, mate, but they've prepared a pitch to negate the Australian quicks. It's a very slow pitch. Jimmy Anderson and Stuart Broad will be tearing their hair out. Mitchell Johnson didn't get a wicket, and they clapped him when he brought up the 100, when he had none for 100 at some stage. So they're in a bit of trouble, Duck. They need the tag to the tail to wag, easy for me to say.
Can we expect wickets like this for the whole Ashes series?
Oh, my word, we will. They're hardly going to prepare a green top when we got Johnson and Stark. Mm. So that's the type of thing we'll get. But that's fair enough. That's what everyone does around the ground. Ducky boy, there's been talk in the AFL in the last 10 years about expanding our game, going offshore internationally. Where does the greatest of all time sit on that?
Look, I don't mind going over there and playing games, Howie, but our game would have to be the hardest game to explain to people abroad than any other game. I mean, it really is. We've got so many grey areas in our game. Even our own supporters and people that know the game fairly well get confused with what's going on. Our MRP can't even get it right, Howie. So imagine trying to explain it to people overseas.
Well, I think you're wrong, Duck. I think you're completely wrong. And I'm going to prove that to you by showing you a little bit of what ESPN did during the week when they were reviewing the footy. And our American brothers and sisters, they are on point as far as the AFL goes, Ducky.
Australian rules football, which, if I'm not mistaken, is a blend of rugby and mugging someone.
Oh, yes. Here we go. Gold Cuffs, Coast Suns, North Melbourne Kangaroos. Lindsay Thomas just mossed that defender and crashes to the ground.
Collingworth and Hawthorne, Travis Cloak. Look at the stiff arm right there. Doosh, get up off me.
So much determination, dude.
And then he turns around and kicks it in from 53 yards out. And again, we have no idea what that counts for, but it was good.
Maybe you were right, Ducky boy. Collingworth.
That is hilarious, isn't it? They've got no idea. And it seriously is a very difficult
Collingworth.
Game. They get really confused with rugby and our game. But you're right, Collingworth, Lindsay Thomas.
Talk about hilarious. Lindsay Thomas. He's out of the Kangaroo side. Magic Doors out of the side as well. First time in a couple of years that Lindsay's been dropped from the seniors, Ducky.
Yeah, look, he was disappointing last week. Took a really good mark, but you know, Brad Scott's obviously had enough. Howie, the Kangaroos for me, and I said it during the week. I said there's a real mental weakness in this side. What I didn't like about that was Brad Scott came out during the week and said that, you know, people get off their back. They're, you know, the so-called experts, are, you know, saying this, saying that. We get it wrong all of the time. I'm not suggesting that he meant me, Howie, but a lot of so-called experts he was having a crack at. And at the end of the day, take some ownership. This side has been mentally weak and they've been so inconsistent.
What do you mean by mentally weak?
Well, they just lose games that they should win within games. You know, the amount of goals that get kicked against them in a short amount of time within a particular game from week to week, they've just been so inconsistent over a long period of time. The expectation on them has been that they're just going to play finals again this year, and they haven't backed that up.
How do you think they're going to go moving forward? They brought a lot of players into the footy club, Del Santo and Waite, who have both been good. They've had some good inclusions, but this was the year, Duck, that they were going into that top four. You mentioned Brad Scott. There's a little bit about what he had to say in his press conference about some of the criticism they're copping.
Everyone's wrong at times. I mean, you guys were all wrong this time last year when, you know, you said we were really struggling and then we made the top four. You're also wrong when you said a top four result means that, you know, we're going to win the flag this year. Now, I sincerely hope you're wrong again right now. And we'll prove you wrong in the second half of the year. We've got a lot of work to do to get that right.
Do they continue the build and the path they're going down, Doug?
Well, what I liked about what Brad said there is we're going to prove you wrong. So if they don't, I hope that he comes out and sort of says that he was wrong. Because we all do. We all make predictions where they're going to be and where they're not. I certainly didn't have them in the top four. Are they on the right track, Howie? Look, I thought Waite and Higgins were great inclusions to the club. I don't think they're the guys that have been letting them down. I think as a whole, as I said, I think they've got too many of the same type through the middle of the ground. They've missed Wells. They've missed that speed. But for me, it's not about the talent they've got. Like I said, it's all above the shoulders.
Ducky boy, you're still in Adelaide, but I'm looking at the Age here, and you've got your fingerprints all over it. You've got an article on Richmond one page in. But then there is a story on page 44 of the Age this morning. Popularity is a numbers game. Now, I haven't actually read this to you, so this will be the first time you hear this. You'll enjoy it, though. It's by Larissa Nicholson, a wonderful journalist, and it starts by saying, Wayne Carey is still a king at Arden Street. Time has done little to dim Carey's popularity. He wore number 18 as captain of North Melbourne in the 1990s and led them to two premierships. And it appears there is plenty of nostalgia for the glory days amongst Roos fans. Signed Carey memorabilia is still extremely popular with North fans, Duck.
Does that surprise you, Howie?
That surprises me. What you just said to me doesn't surprise me. The man that's actually quoted in the article, Deakin University's Professor David Shilbury, he's the man they get the quotes from. He was actually my main professor at uni at Deakin doing sports management.
And how'd you get along with him?
Well, it was my first year and I was down from the country, and this is not a word of a lie. You know what he told me at one stage?
What?
If you keep wearing thongs to uni, son, you'll go nowhere in life. Well, you know what I'm wearing today?
Yeah, thongs.
That's exactly right. So it's a great article about memorabilia and the opportunities available. You would have had to do a lot of memorabilia type stuff in your time, Ducky boy. It's still selling well, apparently.
Yeah, well, Howie, it is. It's one of those contentious things. There are a lot of people out there. They send kids up to get it signed. I actually went to a mate of mine who's got a hotel down sort of near Wyala Way. I went down snapper fishing and I went into his place and he's got a Wayne Carey Guernsey signed, number 18, but it wasn't my signature. And
really?
I'm sitting there, we're having a couple of quiet drinks after we'd been out snapper fishing. Sitting there looking at it, I thought, should I tell him or not? Because it clearly was not my signature. So someone had signed it. And obviously sold it at an auction or whatever, and he's bought it and put it up in his hotel.
And a lot of those type of things float around. You mentioned the kids. I can remember leaving many, many games of Big Bash cricket with Ricky Ponting. And certainly interstate, it's like the autograph hunters, for want of a better term, know where he is and where he's coming from. And Rick was very polite about it, but I saw a bloke open literally your cricket bag with pads, gloves, bat, helmet, little mini bats. And Punter just said, mate, I can't sign that. I can't sign that. And then a couple of kids came up and Ricky was saying to them, mate, where's this? Is this yours? Is it someone else's? For that very reason. And he explained to me later that it ends up on eBay and people are making profits from his signatures.
You're spot on, Harry. The best thing to do, because they do send the kids up, so you just use another signature. You don't use your proper signature. So therefore, the kids get the signature even though they're doing it for an adult. Had a funny situation only a couple of weeks ago walking through the Perth airport with the great Matthew Richardson. And someone's obviously sent these kids up with the cards, and a couple of kids came up to me and said, excuse me, Mr. Richardson, could you please sign these cards? I said, so it was quite funny. So the kids don't even know what they're doing. They're just doing what they're told, which is a little bit sad.
That's a bit like the great Adam Gilchrist doing his first Ashes tour. It was telling me that he was walking around the boundary line with Glenn McGrath and Steve Waugh, and a bloke comes up and says, oh, Mr. Waugh, can I have your autograph? Oh, Mr. McGrath, can I have your autograph? And then he looks at Gilly's photo in the thing and he says, oh, Eric Gilchurch, can I have your autograph? And he's forever been known amongst his cricket mates as Gilly. You know what you need to do if someone comes up for an autograph in an inappropriate fashion? You do what Phil Rudd did yesterday when he was leaving court, the AC/DC drummer, and someone asked him for an autograph.
Is that an appropriate way after you've just...
You reckon they got the autograph, don't you, boy? 2 years ago, Triple M gave our listeners the chance to win a $1 million cash prize by taking a mark. Thanks to New Vision Clinics, the chance to take a $1 million mark is back on Triple M. To enter, listen to the Friday Rub tonight. That's tonight from 6 p.m. and the Saturday Rub tomorrow from noon. Take down the code word. So tonight at 6 or the Saturday Rub tomorrow from noon, you get your code word. Enter it at triplem.com.au. Then be listening to the Hot Breakfast when they return on Monday morning. Ed will be calling people at 8 a.m. to see if he calls out your name. Keep your eye on the ball with New Vision Clinics. Call 1-800-20-20-20. Now, when this happened 2 years ago, Ducky boy, it was your job.
I remember it, Howie, because I wore some skins.
You wore some skins. You rolled boys, out onto the MCG.
And the boys didn't like the skins.
Well, it wasn't the skins they didn't like. You had to kick it to the man in the square, Ducky. This is what happened.
Here's Big Timmy. He's in the square underneath. And I love the storm. It's a shoot.
Just a real shank ducky boy.
Mate, I've never been so embarrassed in all of my life, Howie. I'll tell you what, that next ball, the ball got thrown to me. It was quicker than you could believe. Got onto the second kick and got it down his throat.
And this one comes in. Timmy's under it for $1 million. Yeah! Oh, the big boy's taking it. Have a look at him. Tony Luckett style.
Get around him.
He got the jukes out. He got it on the chest. The king gives him a high five. The crowd loves it here at the MCG.
Yeah, fantastic. So make sure you get the code word from the Rub today at 6 p.m. or tomorrow from 12, and then Ed will call out your name at 8 o'clock. We need to have a look at some of the highlights of the show next, but just as we go, Ducky, can we have one more listen hive, please?
Here's Big Timmy. He's in the square underneath, and I love the storm. It's a
shank it. He shanked it. The king, the best of all time. It went 6 metres off the side of the boot. Duck, it's been fun doing the breakfast with you over the last 2 weeks. Hot Breakfast comes back Monday. It's just been a pleasure to come in here with one of the greatest footballers of all time, one of the most skillful players to ever play the game.
There's Big Timmy. He's in the square underneath it. I love the storm. It's Timmy. Oh,
oh, you love that, don't you? I love flogging a dead horse.
I do. Listen, we've had some great fun over the last couple of weeks. We've spoke to some wonderful guests. It's been great fun. Jakey King came in here last week, and you were sort of telling him that he wasn't the push-up king because he didn't do his push-ups properly, and a challenge came apart.
Give me until grand final day, Dead Set Legends, grand final day.
Yep.
I will take on Jakey, the half push-up king, at push-ups.
All right, you up for that, King?
Hell yeah, I'm more than up to that.
He has been training ever since, Ducky Boy. So that is on grand final day, the Dead Set Legends at the ground.
Absolutely, he got a little bit cranky about that, didn't he?
Well, he
wasn't happy.
He did.
I'm gonna take him on, and like I said, you'll be the judge. We'll have someone there. They'll be counting them, chest to the ground, head up.
I'm still a little bit disappointed I'm not allowed to participate.
And you'll be sitting on my back. Well, you'll be sitting on my back.
Hey, as well as having fun in here, you were doing some babysitting. Your beautiful partner, Steph, had to go to Sydney for a couple of times, Ducky, and you had quite a challenge bringing young Charlotte in here. It was quite involved.
Hey, Charlotte, where's Dad? Where's Dad, Dad? Where's Daddy? Where's Daddy?
Very funny, Howie.
Mum's abandoned you. Oh.
Well, what was funny was I was trying to talk to you about cricket at the time, and you were there with your 7-month-old who did a beautiful job. She's a lovely lady. The one that is on triplem.com.au at the moment, which they tell me has just blown up the internet. It's got more hits than anything in the history of triplem.com.au. You gave our man the hyphen some wonderful advice on colognes and aftershaves and how best to apply them. I can't play it all because it's 6 minutes, so you need to see it on triplem.com.au, but apparently it's changed the life of many a young man in Melbourne already, this advice. Aftershave, Ducky Boy.
Well, one, you have to have a number of colognes, but you have to make one your own. So that's the one that, but don't abuse it, hyphen. Don't abuse it. And then the most important one, which isn't necessarily a trigger point, but it's on the chest, just so you got that nice shiny, shiny look that when you got the third button
undone. How many buttons do you need to have undone?
Well, you only have two done up. You don't.
Dennis Lilly in the 70s style.
Exactly.
How much do we need to apply, Duck?
A lot.
You actually had me snorting there, Guru.
It's been a fun week, and a classic case, the little audio that you played of Charlotte and I there, classic case of the mic is always on.
Yes, a few people at Triple M have learned that in recent times. The highlight for mine, though, in all every shape, way, shape and form, we had Ricky Martin on the line, and you're a massive fan of Ricky, and as am I now. He spoke to us from Puerto Rico. Gee, he was a warm and engaging and friendly man with a positive outlook on life, and you thought you'd take the interview to a whole new level, Duck. This is my highlight when you tried to sing for Ricky.
If I could turn back time.
Now, Ricky, is the chair spinning at this point?
I think it's about the choice of song. you gotta keep trying, man. You gotta keep trying.
What I loved about that is when he said it, he started laughing, Howie. That's how bad it was.
I wish we'd had a webcam just to see Ricky's response in Puerto Rico when you started banging out shirt.
What a beautiful man he is.
Yeah, he was a great man. Ducky, over in Adelaide last night, an interesting incident about Dane Swan the night before the game of footy, broken by Nick Butler of Channel 10 News. This is how it all unfolded in Adelaide.
Went to get a coffee last night, about 8 o'clock, to watch the State of Origin with a mate, a former Swans player, Gerard Bennett. Get about 200 metres down the road, and they are swarmed by police cars, officers everywhere, told to get out of the car, hands in the air. So Gerard Bennett out of the car, and his good mate Swanee out of the car, arms in the air, not exactly sure what's going on, about to be searched. Before one of the officers said, "You idiots, that's not them, that's Dane Swan," after recognising the tats. Story goes that the police, good SA police officers, had been sweating on some bikies, a bikie gang. They saw my friend Gerard in his hoodie and Swanee with his tats out, thought they were bikies, and swooped.
You were out with this particular gentleman last night, Duck, apparently. Good story, that.
Oh, absolutely. He said he'd just been to the gym, so he didn't have his license or anything like that on him, Howie. So the police did ask him to get out of the car, and they did search him. And then they gave the little tap on the window to Swanee, and, well, he does look like a bikie, Swanee, doesn't he? That's an easy mistake.
This is what Nathan Buckley had to say about a post-game.
If anything strange is going to happen, it'll happen to Swanee.
And in Adelaide.
Oh, yeah, in everywhere. Anywhere he goes.
Anywhere he goes. Dane Swan also spoke about it with you last night on Channel 7.
We literally had gone three blocks, and I was like, mate, what have you done to me? What's going on here? I didn't know whether he'd... Oh, geez, is this a set? I thought I was getting stitched for half a second. I thought, I've been stitched by the footy show or something. I don't know what's going on. And then they tapped on the window and said, get out, grab me out of the car. And they sort of looked at me a bit funny, and they go, oh, how long have you been here? I said, about 2 minutes, mate. That's four blocks up the road. And they go, okay, well, yeah, you're not who we're looking for.
It could only happen to Dane Swan. I've got to say, we had him on the other day. I didn't get a chance to mention it. There's a lot of stories about Dane and what he does away from football and what he does on the footy ground. But more than any other player, whether they have won, drawn or lost, he always puts himself up for an interview. Straight away, you go to a Collingwood media girl and you say, can I speak to Dane Swan? Doesn't matter what type of week he's had, he comes over straight away. I've got a lot of respect for Dane Swan.
Yeah, he's a superstar, good guy. And I thought Nathan Buckley summed it up perfectly.
Mistaken identity, Ducky. Have you ever had a case yourself?
Did you ever watch McLeod's Daughters?
Oh, not a great deal.
Well, there's an actor by the name of Aaron Jeffries.
Oh, yeah.
And I was up in Queensland at a bakery not far from my brother's house when he was living up there. And I'm standing in there and all the girls behind in the bakery are coming out, you know, talking to me and everything else. They thought I was he.
And they were flat when they realised they weren't.
Exactly right. And apparently, and I got to meet him one day, and apparently he said the same thing, that he quite often got mistaken for myself, and I said, you poor bugger. And what about yourself, Howie? I'm guessing you, Gwyneth Paltrow, Beaker off the Muppets.
Don't laugh at that.
One of those two.
Well, listen, that does happen to me occasionally. My worst mistaken identity, 6 or 7 years ago, we were moving out, Eric and I, out of an apartment in Port Melbourne, and the old mate, the carpet steam cleaner, came round. And for an hour, he did not shut up. This bloke was my greatest fan. Love your work on this. Love your work on the footy. I think you do a great job on all sorts of different sports, blah, blah. I'm feeling very good about myself. I give him the bill, and he walks out the door. He says, thanks, Hutto.
Oh.
Oh, it was that little weasel with no neck, Anthony Hudson.
Actually, you got a little bit of Owen Wilson about you too.
Duck, our next guest, well, he's a legend of Australian sport. He's a superstar, 9 Grand Prix wins, 42 podium finishes, and his first Grand Prix win at Hockenheim back in 2009. Duck, it's one of my favourite sporting memories in Australia for a long, long time. That is Mark Webber. Not post-race win. That's in the car, Ducky.
I just got goosebumps then, Howie.
A wonderful moment. He's got a book out. It is going to be an absolute sensation. It's called Aussie Grit. You can buy it now. A forward by Steve Waugh. Can't wait to read it. And Mark joins us on the line. Good morning, great man.
Morning, guys.
Fantastic. You must have heard that audio a lot. Does it still make you smile as much as it made us smile here in the studio, Mark? Your first ever Grand Prix win after years and years and years of practice and dedication?
Yeah, it was a bit of adrenaline, mate, going on there. That's for sure. They always skip the beeps, but mate, there's a few beeps in there as well. So yeah, they conveniently get rid of those. But mate, that was just relief on the day, I think, and just knew it was whatever it was 21 years between drinks between Australians winning at that level. So you know, it was a bit of heat on, mate, to get the job done. And yeah, it was a great day.
It was a great day. You're racing in the Porsche now all around Europe, a second at Le Mans in the 24-hour race. What a wonderful achievement. What a brilliant race that is, Mark.
Oh, yeah, this year's race, mate, was incredible. So, yeah, 24 hours against the clock, obviously. We did about 5,300K in 24 hours, so it was a very, very fast race. The sister car won, which we were very happy with, mate. I mean, we went into the race very open, thinking that getting one car on the podium, because he got a bit of a 3-year project going on there. But in the end, yeah, double victory for Porsche, sensation for the brand. And yeah, it was a decent party, mate. I think, yeah, about 90 minutes sleep in 35 hours. So a bit rusty, mate, at the back of that.
Hey, Mark, congratulations on the release of the book. You've always told it how you see it. Am I right in saying that, I thought I saw somewhere the other day that you were quoted as saying Formula One has gone in the wrong direction?
Yeah, I think that, you know, the back part of my career, mate, I was getting a little bit disenchanted with just some of the regulations and the rules that I just kept putting in place, and you know, very, very heavy-handed with, you know, just penalties and engine. I mean, just so difficult for the consumer and the fans to understand, and also, you know, getting quite frustrating for the drivers. So it was easy for me to probably shoot from the hip a little bit and talk on behalf of you know, absolutely my true feelings, but also on behalf of some of the other drivers who get a bit frustrated with it. So hopefully, mate, they're at the bottom end of it now, and they've got some new stuff coming for 17, mate. But that's definitely not my issue, mate, at the moment. So that's all good. It was just what I thought I'd... people were asked my opinion, and it's in the book, and, you know, obviously along with many other topics, and that had to be one of them.
One of the topics obviously revolves around your former teammate, and it's the one getting a lot of press, Sebastian Vettel. We spoke to ACDC drummer earlier on today, Phil Rudd, and this is what he had to say and his thoughts on Sebastian Vettel. No, we might be having a lend you there, Mark. That was Phil Rudd coming out of his press conference yesterday after he got locked up. But your thoughts on Vettel? I think listening to you on Australian Story and the quote that really stuck out for me, and it was a great story, was when you said that Seb came up to you after everything that happened with the multi-21 situation where he took the race win, that he respected you as a driver but possibly didn't respect you as a person. That's pretty harsh.
Yeah, I think, you know, the Grand Prix after, we sat down, and it was completely obvious it was beyond the team's position to try and sort things out between ourselves. So we sat down and just had a chat about it. And, yeah, it didn't go that well, that discussion. And then the last sort of 3 or 4 years actually have been a little bit more tricky between the pair of us. But I think now, you know, basically... Yeah, since I've left, changed categories, and we've actually started to, we're in touch a little bit more, and I think, you know, on reflection, you know, he's there's things that have changed in his life in a way. Obviously, he's had a child. I think also Michael Schumacher's injury, you know, really knocks him around. So you just get a little bit more, you know, open and, let's say, mature about things, and I think that, you know, mate, he was young. He had so much success, you know, when he was at such a young age, and that was not easy maybe to handle. So we did ruffle each other up a little bit, and also it was the intensity and the drive both of us. We knew the first championship in 2010 was super, super important. We went to the last race with that. He got it, and after that, the momentum was clearly with him. But, yeah, it's an interesting, you know, it's all through the book. The whole read is there in terms of how it built up and how the scenarios unfolded, and there's a lot of other things in there which people can learn a lot more about the scenario.
Mark, are you doing the tour, being a fellow author? And Pan McMillan was actually my publisher as well, and Tracy was a lady that looked after myself. Do you now do the tour with Tracy around the country?
I am doing that, mate. I'm doing that right now. So it's been... good, mate, so far. I think that, mate, it's easy. I think when the book's half well-received, I think there's a lot of, you know, for the neutral reader out there, you don't have to be an F1 complete boffin to get yourself into the book. There's a lot of subjects which hopefully are very interesting. So, yeah, it's actually easy to talk about because you can go to a few different places and gives everyone a bit of a topic. So, but, mate, never been to Australia in the winter for 15 years, so it's a new... a new feeling for me. Great to be back here in Australia at this time of year, and Canberra tonight, so that'll be fresh, mate. I'll be brass monkeys there, and no surfing there, Howie.
No.
It's going to be a tough few days there.
No, you need to get back up to the $28 million pad you've got in Noosa, just overlooking the point. You reckon your book's got some controversy in it. You want to have a couple of pages of Duck's book when you've got a spare moment or two, Mark. Before we let you go, it's been a really interesting Formula One season. Obviously, the battle at the front between the Mercedes, but it's been a tough season for your compatriot, Daniel Ricciardo. There's talk about jumping ship to Ferrari, although he's contracted. Tough one for Dan this year. He's still driven well, but the car's just not what it used to be, Mark.
No, that's right, mate. And, yeah, it's such a fine line between the White House and something else, I call it, something else house, mate. But I think, you know, he's... bizarrely, I think this will still be good for him because he's just, you know, it's only natural over the course of having such a long career, which he will have. He's got all the right qualities. We know that. He's quick. He's composed. And there's a bit of frustration creeping in now off the back of a sensational year last year. But this is good for his backbone just to go through this little bit of testing waters at the moment and realise that, you know, you've got to make hay while the sun shines, which he did last year 100%. And he'll have that again in the future, whether it's with Red Bull or another team. I'm not sure, but he's just got to weather this storm, and you know, he'll come out the other side in good nick, and that's important for him. So he'll be in touch a little bit, mate, and he's in a pretty good space. He's just got to, as I say, weather the storm.
Mark Webber, Aussie Grit, is out now, mate. Congratulations on the book and the documentary on Australian Story and ABC. If you haven't seen it, have a look on iView because it's been absolutely fantastic. Have a wonderful rest of the season in the Porsche car, mate, and we hope to see you at the end of the year.
Beautiful. Thanks, guys. Take it easy.
Some big games of footy to get through this weekend, Ducky, and our good friends at afl.com.au, the best website going around, are giving away some tickets. So give us a call, 133353, to watch Richmond take on Carlton tonight. And Richo will be kicking the first ceremonial goal as a homecoming hero, thanks to afl.com.au, sort of like the old baseball pitch. Also giving away tickets to North Melbourne versus Geelong on Saturday night. That'll be at Triple M Football, of course, at Etihad Stadium. Kicks off at 7:20, but get down early and show your shinbone of spirit. That's afl.com.au. All right, Ducky, some big games. You won't go through them all, but the more important ones, as far as the ladder goes, Richmond-Carlton.
Yeah, massive game tonight. You're right, Richo. He's kicked the most goals on the MCG. Did you know that, Howie?
I didn't, and, but he's a star.
And 10 metres out, probably an area that he missed a couple from, but he's a little bit nervous about it. No, big game. Richmond have got a chance to obviously leapfrog Collingwood and a couple of others. So massive game for them tonight. I think the Tigers should win.
Essendon versus Melbourne. This is a massive game in so many ways. Cooney is out of that side with a hamstring. Watson is out with a shoulder. Dempsey and Kavanagh go out. And for the Melbourne Footy Club, James Harms comes in for his debut.
Yeah, massive game for one reason. We just want to see an improved effort from the Bombers. It doesn't matter whether they win or lose, Howie, to be honest. They've got a few players out of that side, but it's the effort and the intent that they go into the game with. We want to see that improved.
Saturday night on Triple M Football, the Kangaroos, who lose Hanson with a hip, Lindsay Thomas, Magic Door get dropped, and Thompson plays game number 150 up against the Cats in Kelly in Bartell. Thank you very much.
Yeah, massive massive game for both clubs. If Geelong want to play finals footy, I think they have to win this, as do the Kangaroos. So this is huge. Brad Scott saying that the Kangaroos, you know, he believes that they'll have a really big second half of the year. It starts tomorrow night.
And then Hawthorn versus Fremantle down in Tassie on Sunday. Segler goes out and McAvoy comes in for the first spell for a while. Puopolo, the little star, two premierships he's got, Duck, and 100 games. And Griffin, Mzungu and Sutcliffe come in for Fremantle. Luke McFarlane, who did start at the Hawks, plays game 250.
Yeah, congratulations to Luke. 250's been a wonderful player, but I think the Hawks are about to flex their muscle, Howie, and I know you love hearing that, but I think they're still the best side in the competition. Fremantle, for me, the last 3 or 4 weeks, just starting to wane, pardon the pun. I think the Hawks will get the job done.
We'll keep an eye for number 33 too, Cyril. He might just cause absolute mayhem down there in Tassie. Hey, Duck, it's been wonderful doing the breakfast. The boys are back on Monday morning from 6 a.m. That's Das, Eddie and Mick. Thanks for everyone helping this show to get to air. The Dead Set Legends do breakfast. DC and Maddie in audio. Obviously, Sarah, our wonderful producer, yes. The hyphen who presses the buttons, yourself. We'll be back same time as usual on a Saturday morning, 9 a.m. We've got Jack and Nick Riewoldt coming in the studio tomorrow, Duck, to promote Maddie's match, which will be absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, look forward to it, Howie. It should be a big show tomorrow. Thanks for the 2 weeks. Thanks to everyone, as you said. And it's been fun.